Welcome to Lugano Picos Nutting Online Service on Sunday, 7th of March, 2021. I'm Irung Kim, the minister of LPUC. And thank you for watching our online service today, whether you watch this on Sunday morning or whenever suits you. I pray that you may experience of the presence of God, His grace and love, His mercy and healing touch. As I meet you online, often I was wondering how you found our online service. Actually, before anything else, I really wanted to connect with you by hearing of your feedback or comment or by praying for you. So if you are willing to give your feedback or comment or even if you have any prayer requests, please contact me via email or message me through our Facebook page. Today is the third Sunday of Lent. Our Lenten journey continues. Often the road has been stony and hard. Sometimes we have stumbled, even fallen. But God has been our friend, our guide. We have no cause to be alarmed. God is faithful to us, even when we are faithless. Today we rejoice in God's faithful love and together ask for strength and signs of hope and life. And again, we are drawn together to celebrate the life that is ours in Jesus Christ. Let us begin our service by prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for being in our lives, for walking with us, for helping us when we are afraid or when we are sad. Thank you for guiding us as we try to figure out the best way to live well that gives meaning to our lives and the lives of our friends and families. Thank you for loving us and showing that love every day in so many different ways. Thank you for giving us opportunities, for the chance to hope and dream of living our lives in a way that will make the world a better place for all your people. Lord, as we come to you this day, open our ears and our hearts to hear your words of healing love. Prepare us to be faithful disciples for you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing, hymn, or listen to the first song, Mighty to Save. My life to follow.
Hello, my name is Lance, and the Bible reading this today is from John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. Jesus clears the temple courts. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins for the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
When do you feel that life is unfair? Is it unfair that people do not stick to the rules when you are playing a game? Is it unfair that some people have things you can never have? Is it unfair when you don't get invited to a party? Do you scream and shout and throw your toys about? Do you pout and scowl and mop? Do you shrug your shoulders, yawn, and just move on? Would it surprise you that Jesus got mad? Would it surprise you that Jesus got sad? Would it surprise you that Jesus did something bad? The Gospel of John is always working on several levels of meaning. In today's scene, one level is about money changers. Another is about Jesus replacing the sacrificial system of the temple and even the temple entirely. In fact, the two specific things about the temple scene made Jesus so angry that he went into action. The first was that the temple had been divided into sections for different types of worshippers. The Jews got the best section. The foreigners got the section 40s from the altar. Imagine if I divided our worship space into VIP or platinum, gold and silver sections for different types of worshippers to sit. I guess you can imagine what happened in the past history of Western churches. For example, there used to be a so-called slave balcony and slave door in an old Southern Baptist church in the States. To make matters worse, temple leaders had allowed business people to set up booths in the foreigner section to sell animals for offering and exchange foreign currency because the temple leaders had decided that only a certain money could be put in the offering boxes and the temple. All of them were really disrupting the foreigners, their ability to pray in peace. All those dynamics made Jesus so angry. Jesus' actions were not so much as wild angry, but brave and courageous. You know why? Because Jesus wanted the people of all nations to be accepted as children of God and also included properly and righteously to worship God in the temple. We'll talk more about that later. Today's version of the story, Jesus cleans the temple courts from John's Gospel, takes place at the beginning of Jesus' ministry during his first visit to Jerusalem for Passover. John tells us that Jesus actually made at least 3 trips to Jerusalem for the Passover. However, the other gospel writers, like in Matthew, Mark, Luke, only tell us about Jesus making only 1 trip to Jerusalem to Passover at the end of his 3 years of ministry. John tells the story differently. Does it matter? Let's hear the story one more time together, and you can decide if it really makes any difference. Okay, it was Passover. Passover is one of the largest holidays of Jewish faith. Remembering and celebrating the exodus of the slaves out of Egypt with Moses centuries earlier. Every faithful Jew who was capable was supposed to travel to Jerusalem and present an offering at the temple. By presenting their offering, they not only received forgiveness for all of their sins, but they were also demonstrating their loyal obedience as a faithful Jew. So Jews traveled from all over the world to be at the temple on Passover, and that included Jesus and his followers. Let us try to imagine what the Passover experience was like. The typically busy city was now stretched to the limit with visitors from all over the world. You could hear lots of different languages be spoken. Rooms were full, streets were packed, and everyone was focused on one thing, going to the temple to offer their required sacrifice to the temple priest. That had been a practice since the time of Moses. The specific type of a sacrifice you had to make depended on many things. Where you are from, how old you were, what your job was, how nasty the sins were for which you need to be forgiven, and a long list of other things. Both the sacrifices included at least some form of animal, and the requirement was that the animal be perfect and free of blemish. This not only meant it should be physically perfect, but it needed to be clean and look nice and healthy as well. This leads to an interesting issue for those coming from out of town. Can you imagine the challenge of traveling a good distance across the country, mostly by walking the crowded and narrow roads, typically for many days, and the entire time dragging along a few of doves and several bushels of grain, not to mention a couple of sheep or oxen? It is not surprising that most travelers, you know, bought their sacrificial animals once they go to Jerusalem. As a result, there was quite a variety of sellers set up in their booths around the temple yard, all offering the types of sacrifice that travelers need to purchase. Because the visitors had to purchase their sacrifice there, the sellers were able to charge more. You know, like in the buying petrol at a local petrol station, instead of driving a few extra kilometers where you can find the better prices. It was truly a seller's market. In addition, every person entering the temple courtyard itself was required to pay an admission fee of 1/2 shekel of tire, which was a fairly common coin in Jerusalem at that time. However, those coming from out of town were probably carrying money from their home location. So before entering the temple to offer their sacrifice, they had to visit one of the many money changers who were scattered among the sellers and who were known to charge whatever exchange rate they could get from those needing their services. But there was more. The way the process worked was that you would take your sacrifice to the temple courtyard, where it would be presented to one of the priests. Sacrificial animals were killed and butchered. Parts of the animal were burnt on the altar fire as the law required. And the rest of the meat was thrown into a large pot and cooked to be used as part of the various Passover feasts. This is important to remember, because according to the law, the priest would throw the meat into the boiling pot and the meat cook for a while. After the meat had cooked up and begun to fall apart, the priest would take a huge fork and jab it down into the pot, and when he pulled it back up, and any of the meat that was stuck to the fork would be given to the priest for their own food as a part of their salary. However, if you stand there and watch people take their animals up to the priest, you could see the priest wait perhaps 30 seconds, then jabs down the big fork to pull up an animal, you know, almost the entire side of the meat that is taken by them. So, get the picture. Noisy, crowds of people needing to buy your sacrifice, going from seller to seller, who are all yelling about their pricing. The animals are running around all over the place. You have money changers and people arguing over exchange rights. You watch the people paying to enter the courtyard and humbly presenting their sacrifice to the priest. And watch as their holy sacrifice is quickly turned into just another revenue stream for those who are running the show. That may feel a little irritating to you standing and watching this. So it might help explain what went through Jesus' mind as he stepped up the stairs, entered the temple courtyard, and stood there watching and listening. Then he came to that moment when he had finally had enough. We are told he grabbed some rope from one of the seller's tents and started to swing it around like a whip, chasing sellers, money changers, and livestock out of the temple courtyard. He grabbed the metal boxes the money changers used to hold their loot and pulled the coins out all over the ground, which had to have created a stir all by itself. As he did this, he would shout, "Take these things out of here and stop making my father's house a marketplace." Let's pause right there for just for a moment to point out that Jesus was not yelling at us and telling us that we cannot have baker sales or autumn festivals in the church. His anger was not about the fact that something was being sold, but that those doing the selling were taking complete advantage of those buying. It wasn't that money was involved. It was that one group was treating the other as if they were worthless and had no value in the eyes of God. They were doing that in the very place that was meant to be alternate system and symbol of fairness and equality around all people in God's temple. So he drew a line. He took a stand. It got a lot of attention. But while we let Jesus go ahead and finish his house of cleaning, we might look around the rest of the temple courtyard. Over there, there was another one, Sadducees, who were received a percentage of the income from the sacrificial zealots, the money changers, and the priests. Watching this man cutting into their income stream, something they clearly couldn't allow to continue. Standing next to them were the priests wearing their robes, symbolizing their holiness and power. Watching this naive preacher from Galilee make them look like a bunch of crooks. I won't go further to mention about the Romans that ruled over Israel. During the Passover, we are told a Roman centurion standing at every pillar in the temple area. And another squad standing there watching just to make sure there was never any problem. I think we can be sure they were all watching Jesus quite closely. In fact, Jesus has begun his end game today in the temple. And Mark is more accurate in telling us that this story took place during Jesus' final visit to the city. It seems more making a sense because if it took place in the early stage of Jesus' ministry, then unlikely any of the powers that be would have been open to allowing Jesus to go back home and stir things up for another 3 years. Even the disciples realized it. As they watched him, they were reminded of Psalm 69 says, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Although the disciples weren't always that bright, they clearly understood that what Jesus was doing was going to end up consuming him. They might not have understood everything that was to come, but they realized he had had enough, and he wasn't going to sit back any longer. Enough was enough. The end game had begun. There are a couple of important points. Now, firstly, as suggested earlier, Jesus wasn't making a point about the baking sales and autumn festival, but he was upset that one person wasn't treating another person as an equal as another child of God. Secondly, the story is not a call for all of us to become zealous about some issue and to go out and turn over the tables and drive away the evildoers. No one can take this story of Jesus in the temple and use it to justify an act of abuse or terror of any kind. No one. What might we take from this story other than understanding a bit more about why Jesus did what he did that day in the temple? The story's message seems clear. Our task is to jealously make sure that our church, this house of God, never becomes a place in which any one person is treated as less equal to or less valuable than any other person. our task is to keep the house clean of those things that might cause any person to feel less at home here, less safe here, or less welcome here. Our task is to obey the one rule of the clean house. This one commandment I give to you, love one another. So everything we are doing should be based on the love that God showed us in Jesus Christ. Should be based on the commandment that is given to us, love one another as I loved you. Amen. Let us sing, hear, or listen to the next song, May the Mind of Christ, My Savior.
May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By His love and power controlling all I do and say. All I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through His power. Only through His power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may
Hi, I'm Laurie. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to talk to you. Please help us to speak to you throughout the week and not just on special occasions. As well as talking to you, please help us also to be silent and to listen to your voice as you speak to us. We thank you that you do speak to us in so many different ways, in our minds, when we read the Bible, through other people, through silences, as well as through music and singing. Dear God, we bring to you our joys and remember the words of that old hymn, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We bring to you all our concerns and worries. We take a moment of silence now to bring these issues to you. We ask that your hand of mercy be upon each situation. Please help each person involved to recognise that they are not alone, that God the Holy Spirit knows and understands their situation and is standing with them. Dear God, we pray for our nation, for our leaders and for each person involved at the federal, the state and the local level. Please help them to fulfil their roles honestly and for the good of the people they serve. As individuals and as a society, please help us to recognise that each and every person, whatever their issues or circumstances, has dignity and value because they have been made in the image of God. Thank you for revealing yourself to us, for turning us around and for setting us upon your path. Please help us to share your love, your hope, your forgiveness and your peace with the people that you bring us in contact with. Amen.
We have a few announcements this morning. First one, the March Mass Church is held on Sunday, 28th of March at Ever Park in Lugano. And the theme is scavenger hunt. And now you can register by email or Eventbrite. And time out, ladies. First gathering will be held at church on Tuesday, 9th of March at 7:30 p.m. More details can be found in the church newsletter or worship resources. To attend Sunday service at 10:15 a.m., everyone needs to register with a bell bull via phones or email. This is a blessing. Go into the world ready to be kind when others are unkind, and to be passionate when others are complacent. Be fearless. For the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the abiding friendship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and always. Amen. This is an end of today's online service. Thank you for your participation in today's service and hope you have a very blessed day and very blessed week. See you next week. I got no worries, got no worries. Me.